My name is Jim Harris.
I'm Phil Rizzo.
And we are on a road trip podcast for this one. As you know, we go around throughout the country. We have a lot of different products and classes that we have. We have all of the promotional products, obviously, but we also have a lot of different specialty classes. And one of the ones that I really love to do is Command Series 1, and that deals with developing first-line supervisors. So Phil and I, you want to tell them where we're at this time?
We're in Hobbs, New Mexico, in Lee County, New Mexico, about 10 miles away from the Texas border.
Are we even that far? I don't even think we're that far.
10 miles, they said.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I want to go put one foot in Texas and one foot in New Mexico and take a picture.
Yeah, like we used to be able to do it when we were kids in Canada and the United States before it got all crazy.
I know.
But we're in Hobbs, New Mexico, and we're being sponsored by Hobbs PD. Great host to us, really great room, and we have a lot of officers from some different agencies here in New Mexico, as well as Texas. We had some officers travel 4 or 5 hours to come take our class.
Yeah, it's good. So it's the end of day two of this class. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is the same circus, different clowns. No matter where we go throughout the United States, we've taught in online or in person in 24 different states now. And we all have the same people. We all have the same problems. And no matter where we go, we always joke about it, but we really do have the same issues. But if you were to pick the number one item out of all the items that are coming up in these classes, because one of the things we do, we ask about what issues you're having. What do you believe is the number one item that every officer has, or every class that we teach, no matter if it's Idaho, New Mexico, New Jersey, Maryland, what is the one issue they have?
It really has to be morale. It's one of those items that it's difficult to measure. It's difficult to pinpoint what effects it has on the agency and what effects the agency has on it. And it just affects every individual officer differently, because you could go into an agency and have several officers that have very high morale and a portion of officers who have very low morale.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know what is funny about what you just said is that perspective matters. And you might have an officer who's having an amazing career, and for him, the morale of the agency, he might perceive it to be high. And then you might have an officer who's not so happy with the agency, in that same agency, believes that morale is low. But overall, in every class, what are people saying?
That the morale of their officers is varying, and that it's difficult to maintain an overall high level of morale in every agency. So far, I've only heard of one in all the classes that I've taught where they said morale is great, our retention is great, everything is great, and that's from numerous officers in the class.
Really?
Only one. Every other place, you'll hear some people say morale is horrible. You'll have some people say morale is great. This week was the first time I heard somebody that had multiple people in the class say morale is phenomenal. It's amazing.
Now, did they say why morale is amazing in that class?
Well, it is a smaller agency. There were only, I believe, under 15 officers in the agency, which makes that a little easier to manage. But they actually had pinpointed it down to the chief and the local government were very supportive of them, and they felt that everything they did, they were supported in. They had some good perks in their contract. They actually said, the one officer had said that she took a pay cut to go to this agency, but the perks that went along with it were much greater than the pay cut, and her well-being to her and her family have outweighed the cut in pay.
Smaller agency, easy to manage, but one of the biggest things that hits on this is with what you just said is that the chief and the committee are supportive of each other.
Yes, so. And that's hard because if you have, you could have a command staff and a chief that are very supportive of their officers, but if they don't feel that the city or township committee is supportive of them, that could have effect on morale. Likewise, you could have a city committee that is very dedicated to its police department, but if they feel that there's issues with their command staff, the officers feel there's an issue with the command staff, that can affect morale.
One of the biggest things that we teach in the class, and we'll bring it up here, is what we call fractured leadership. So when the workforce looks up at its leadership, it takes a look to see, am I on the right team? Because nobody wants to be a part of a shitty organization. People want to be part of something that's great. People want to be part of something that they know is going to be moving forward into the future, and they really want to be part of something great. So when you have leadership at the top that is stable and working together, that creates stability at the people below, and they look up and go, okay, everything up top is working fine. I know I'm safe. And when you have fractured leadership, which means that your command staff doesn't get along, your one of the biggest things is lieutenant of investigations doesn't get along with the lieutenant of patrol, whatever it is, when there's fractured leadership and they look up and the workforce looks up and sees that if these people aren't even getting along, if these people don't even aren't moving forward, they feel unstable. So having at the very top of the organization, having the governing body and the command staff working together to move towards the future, that is so essential in morale.
But let's be honest, you could have the governing body that's doing everything right and supporting its police department. You could have the command staff that's doing everything right and supporting its police department. But let's be frank, it's a difficult time to be a police officer in this day and age. And there are a lot of situations that law enforcement feel that are outside of their local community that are affecting morale nationwide.
It could. But what's the first step? What's the first step of improving morale? What's the first step in even even that agency that has good morale, maintaining morale?
Yeah, I think that you have to get not only your command staff and your government on the same page, but really let's be quite frank, the most important part of this whole equation are your first line supervisors. If your first line supervisors aren't on board, then the first line supervisors, the sergeants, the corporals, depending on what size agency you're in, what kind of agency you're in, it's very important because they see the officers day to day. They're with the officers day to day. Doesn't matter if it's a small agency or you look at an NYPD, 40,000 strong. To a patrolman in the NYPD, the sergeant is the agency. Mm-hmm. They don't see anyone above that. They might see a lieutenant in the station house, but for the most part, the sergeants are their life. The sergeants are their image of the agency, and the sergeants do have the most effect on the morale of the agency.
All right, bringing up that point, we know LEO radio. We know that governing bodies aren't listening to us. And let's be honest, there's very few command staff that might listen to us other than our past students. And throughout the country, we have assisted many different organizations, and we have a lot of command staff officers throughout the country. But the most people that are going to listen to this is your first-line supervisors, your line officers. They're going to be listening to this for the aspect of morale. So what impact do they particularly have on morale? And I say everyone has an impact on morale.
I agree. I'm simply saying that the sergeant, and I say this during our command series one, that the sergeant is really one of the most, if not the most integral part of the agency, simply because they're the shock absorbers. You have the lieutenants and the captains pushing policy down. You have patrol officers pushing concerns up, and that sergeant is a shock absorber that has to manage both sides, burn the candle at both ends, so to speak. And it's a delicate balance, and it's difficult. It's a difficult position to be in.
It is. I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that. I personally, I think everyone has an aspect of morale that they need to be worried about. If, for example, and we'll talk about first-line supervisors in a second, because I do agree with you. Like, first-line supervisors, everyone is responsible for the morale of the people under them. You have no control as a first-line supervisor. You have no control of what's happening above you. You can pass things up. You can, if anybody has a concern or something that they want fixed, you can pass that up, but you have no control over what happens in the organization. You have direct control over the lives of the people that you lead. And if you just try to make their lives a little bit better, just a little bit better every day,
correct,
then you walk in the room and you're like, how can I help you? How can I do, what can I do for you? If you're not self-centered and you look to how you can help the people you lead to make their work lives better, I think you will slightly increase morale.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. I also think that if the officers don't project the negativity that the media is portraying, project the negativity that they might be feeling every day, you go into work with, you know, a crap attitude.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna have that, for lack of better terms, Pygmalion effect, that you're going to have a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
And you know, if you walk around saying this place sucks, eventually the place is going to suck, because
yeah,
it's just it you're going to have that negative effect on everybody. It's the old adage of, you know, the boyfriend and girlfriend of, are you cheating on me? Are you cheating on me? Are you cheating on me? And eventually one of them says, well, if you're going to accuse me of cheating on you every day, I might as well.
Yeah.
It's just that self-fulfilling prophecy.
Nah, I agree. We say this all the time. It's like, I want to jump back real quick to the actual officers, because we're going to talk about the first line supervisor and how pivotal it is. But the actual aspect of the individual officers, like you were just saying with the Pygmalion effect, if the individual officer keeps considering this place sucks, the place is going to suck. This place sucks. What are you doing to increase morale? Everyone is responsible for morale in their area of concern. Their area of concern is considered to be them and anyone below them. Now, as an officer, you're only responsible for yourself. So if morale sucks, what are you personally doing for yourself? No, you have no control over anything above you. You only control your environment. How can you make your work life better? How, you know, what are you doing to make the place better? Are you positive when you walk in? Or are you always going to be negative?
And don't get me wrong. I have been there where the government, and when I say the government, I don't mean local governments. I mean the government as a whole, as far as the media, you know, and national, on the national stage, has made it that it's difficult to go to work every day.
It is.
I mean, and it is. I get it. I've been there. And it's one of those things where you have to look at, is this something that I've dedicated my life to, and I'm going to make the best of what I have for the 25 to 30 years that I have to do. And in other states, you know, we in New Jersey have to only do 25 or 30 years, but we're meeting people out here in New Mexico and other portions of the state that have to do well more than that.
Oh, yeah. Might have the rule of 85,
right,
or whatever it might be. But we all get into this to help people. So there's, you know, when you go out and you're serving people as an officer on the street, what are you doing to make the lives of somebody else better? And when you help, man, that feeling when you help that child or that kid or the old man or old woman, you make a positive difference in their life, those are the things you remember.
Right.
Yeah, we remember the bad things. We remember those critical incidents, but you remember some of the really good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, if we have to remember why we got into the job.
Yeah.
And I really firmly believe that while we all joke that the canned answer on a police entrance exam or police entrance interview is, I want to help people. There's much more to it than that.
I
think one of the best answers I ever got to that was an individual who I was helping get ready for an exam, and her dad was a police officer as well. And I asked her, why do you want to be a police officer? And she said, I saw the impact that my dad made every day on people's lives, and I want to make an impact. I want to make my impact. And I thought that was pretty poignant in the fact of she saw the impact her dad made, but she didn't want to make his impact. She didn't want to make, you know, her brother's in law enforcement as well, and she didn't want to make his impact. She wanted to make her own impact. And I really think that that's what people get into it for. When I started, my grandfather told me, do something that's meaningful. Do something that is worthwhile and that you're going to feel like you did something at the end of the day. And I've really just come into this that if I can change just one person's life, if I can change that trajectory of one person, then I'm doing something right. And fortunately, I've been able to change the trajectory of several people. When you have a woman who has a heart attack at a ShopRite, and you're able to use an AED and shock her back to life so that she can spend the next Thanksgiving with her family, that's amazing. That's changing the trajectory of many lives.
Right.
And police officers, I think we have to realize that despite the fact that the media might be portraying us in a negative light, but despite the fact that you feel that you're down and out and morale is horrible,
agency doesn't support it.
Right. Stop for a second and just look at every officer who puts on that uniform every day is changing the trajectory of somebody's life.
Yeah. What kind of positive impact can you make?
And again, for the positive.
Yeah.
And it's when you look at it in that light, it's pretty damn amazing. You know,
there's going to be negative times. Don't get me wrong, but you need to outweigh that. You have to make a positive impact.
I have been on the job since 1995, or you know, with law enforcement experience, several different agencies. And have there been bad times? Absolutely. But from the time where you find a lost kid at a fair to the time you're able to save a life, I've been fortunate enough to deliver babies. I've changed the trajectory of several people's lives.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to being fortunate enough to be able to help students get promoted or help them with these classes that they're able to learn a technique or two that helps them in their job function as a supervisor. It's just, you have to try and not buy into the negative every day and see what's positive.
All right, so let's switch our focus to the first line supervisor, because the person who has the greatest impact on working on morale is going to be the first line supervisor. And
right.
One of the biggest things I think about is,
when we talk about why is morale low in all of our classes, the items that come up throughout the country, and this is
a standard thing throughout the country, is people are like, above me, they don't support what we do. We have bad cars. We need more equipment. And they're focusing on things that they don't control.
Right.
So when we talk about how you can impact your, like, morale of the squad, and when we say impact morale, we talk about how do we impact the morale of the squad. We talk about what can you control. And you can just try to make the people's lives you're affecting better. And instead of focusing above you and aside from you of the things you don't control, focus on the, you know,
it's different every agency. Some people have 2 people they supervise. Some people have 5 to 10. Some people have 20 people they supervise. But
focus on those people directly
under you. And walk in and say, how can I make these people's lives better?
And unfortunately, though, just to kind of counterpoint what you're saying, there are plenty of times when you talk about the cars, when you talk about the facilities, it's hard to go into work with a positive light every day when every one of your cars has 150,000 miles on it and a rotted out floorboard.
Absolutely.
It's hard to have a positive morale when you go to a building and you know, the bathroom, the plumbing in the bathroom facilities don't work.
I 100% agree.
In that situation, I understand you can't affect it.
Right.
But it also makes it damn near impossible to say, I'm going to go in and make a positive impact on somebody's life.
No, I'm not saying that. This is what I'm saying is
everybody has a responsibility from the officer at the line level all the way to the top in the governing body. Everybody has a role and responsibility to affect the morale of the people underneath them.
Correct.
And if your job is you are the commander in charge of administration, whether it be deputy chief or a captain or a lieutenant, someplace as a sergeant, if you are in charge of facility management, you are directly affecting the morale of your people because you're not fucking doing your job.
But with that being said, there are plenty of times when you have you are the facilities manager, you're doing everything you can, and the governing body isn't doing what they need to do. The governing body isn't fixing the roof leaks. The governing body isn't putting
and his responsibility isn't to fix that issue up and around. If the governing body's not doing their job, who isn't doing their job? The chief of police. And it goes right to him.
Because
his job is to work with government. So if your governing body is not doing it, it might be that. And if
it might be, but it might not be.
And if it's not, then what is the chief doing? You better work with those voting pools and say, we're not getting what we need. Put the pressure on the politicians. Because ultimately, the chief is supposed to be helping the resources down. The governing body should be doing that, but if they're not, if the governing body isn't upholding their end of the law, or I don't say law,
bargain,
if they're not upholding their end of the bargain, then the chief of police, he is the political entity that needs to go out to the community and say, hey, community, we need this stuff, and they're not giving it to us. So let's get rid of them, and let's get somebody in who will give it to us. So it's a political entity, and that's at the very top. Everybody has a role in morale. Unfortunately, what the chief of police does, they don't worry about morale. Morale is something at the bottom.
I don't agree with that. I think that there are, and again, not every chief.
Not every chief.
A blanket statement.
You're right. I retract it.
Because there are plenty of chiefs and plenty of public safety directors out there that are 100% concerned with the morale of their agency.
True.
And have the best interests of their officers at heart. And go out there and are champions for their officers every day. And a politician is not necessarily looking to make waves with that.
No, so I agree.
Again, this is community specific.
It is. But that's where if you're, you know, way sparring off
for the first one, Super Bowl.
Correct.
Because if at the very top of the organization,
because
if you're not getting it, you have to go to those voting pools.
But we're starting off the first-line supervisor because even though the first-line supervisor can be a champion for the agency and a cheerleader for the agency and point out all the good things, as a sergeant, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with the same things that your patrol officers are dealing with day in and day out, and I go back to my original statement of it's hard to go to work every day. When, you know, it's 102 degrees out and two of your cars have air conditioning.
Right. Yeah. So, what are your first-line supervisors going to do?
I think your first-line supervisors have to do the best they can to understand that they are affecting morale and they have the greatest effect on morale. And, you know, we've always made the joke of heavy is the head that wears the crown. But I think that their crown might be a little bit bigger than the lieutenants, the captains, the chiefs.
Oh, yeah, because they're hearing it.
They can't. They're hearing it from both sides.
Yeah. But they got to be. They always have to stay positive because nobody wants to walk in to roll call every day knowing that conditions are bad. We know conditions are bad, but we don't want to walk into roll call and be faced with the leader who is defeated. We want to be faced with the leader who, listen, guys, I know it's rough right now, but we're going to get through this. We're going to work through it.
I'm going to show my age on this one, and we showed a clip this morning from Hill Street Blues, and that sergeant in Hill Street Blues who every time he would give his briefing and he was, you know, salty and gruff, but it was always, and let's be safe out there. Let's be careful out there. That's what it was. Let's be careful out there. And no matter what, it was, his briefings were positive, no matter what.
Always ending on a positive note. He, you know, we can't affect the certain things that we can't. I will, as a first line supervisor, I will bring your concerns up the chain. The lieutenant must bring those concerns up, and it, we have to keep bringing those concerns up.
But at the end of the day,
the sergeant who's facing our people has to stay positive, even in the rough times.
Absolutely.
Because when people are looking at them, they have to have faith in, I can look at my sergeant,
I have faith in you, you're going to bring us through this.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to look at a thing and be like, all right, guys, with another crappy day in the hood, let's see what we can, let's see, hopefully we'll get through this one. Nobody wants to be part of that instability.
No.
Instability creates animosity and low morale.
It's, you know, morale and esprit de corps is so delicate, and it's almost like a bad chemical equation that, you know, one little drop of something different could, you know, what is it, you know, one, what do they say, something about submarines, where that one drop of bleach in the fresh water supply of a submarine contaminates all of it.
I never heard that. Okay.
Or something along those lines. I can't really say.
You were a Navy guy?
I wasn't a Navy guy. But, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot to contaminate a whole pool.
Yeah.
And we all know that there are agencies that have one or two bad apples that can contaminate the entire agency.
Absolutely.
Negative morale and morale killers are like a cancer.
Yeah.
And they spread quickly.
Well, they spread quickly. But they don't change to the positive quickly at all. A lot of people come to our classes. They're like, "All right, how are we going to fix morale?" And they think it's like, "Okay, we're going to give you this little secret tip. You walk into your agency, you do it, and then the light switch goes on, and automatically morale's high. Woo-hoo!" But morale is a cultural change.
I mean, you know, you hate to put it to, you know, the whole thing of cancer, but it is just like cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, cancer. You get cancer. And it's going to take a while to cure. It's not just overnight. So it's
but the thing
the
is,
same
if,
thing.
If I hate to go on to this cancer aspect.
Yes.
But if you get the cancer of poor morale, and you don't take any action, any proactive action,
it just spreads and spreads.
Right. And in the cancer of morale, it's like one of those things where it's like, it's not like you just go in and remove it. It's a long process to get through it.
But look, I hate to go back to, like you're saying, hate to go to the analogy, but even with actual cancer, you remove it, there's still treatments that need to be done to ensure that it's,
yeah.
And it's weeks and weeks and weeks of...
Sometimes months.
Months, years.
And it's years.
So,
and
so,
it takes a long
time to remove it, and morale is one of those things.
And then once you get there, like you said, the agency that's there, once you have it, it's
right.
Hard to keep it.
Right.
So what are you doing to sustain high morale? Let's just say this. No agency, even if you think you have good morale, no agency has perfect morale. You have to work at it.
Because someone's always going to say that their collective bargaining agreement could be better. Someone's always going to say...
For those who have collective bargaining agreements, because
right.
Some of our listeners don't.
Right. But, you know, if you have a CBA, some are going to say, you know, I have this, I have that. You know, the perks we get. I mean, think about it. We were here in New Mexico today, and talking to the officers, it's pretty much a state standard here that every police officer gets a take-home car.
Hmm. And that's throughout the country. A lot of states have that. Yeah.
So
a lot of municipalities.
But then you go to the Northeast. That's not very common at all.
No, not at all.
And when you think about it, imagine, especially with gas prices being the way they are,
yeah.
How would that affect morale? That if the department said, hey, you know what, we're giving you a take home car. I mean,
but
and I'm not saying that's. But yeah. those are perks that some people have, some people don't.
But you remember the perks are money and equipment and cars, they're short-term entities for morale. Like, you know, a lot of new chiefs, a new chief will come into play, the governing body gives them a ton of money, they're like, oh, let's do this, let's do that, and you see a morale boost. But what happens is the morale boost goes up because they're getting new things.
Right.
Because the chief did his
job. That's short-term.
But it's short-term. Because if you're not going to maintain the people, if you're not going to try to work at how can I make the lives of my people good, look, how can I train them better? How can I develop them for what they want to do in this career? How can I gear them towards their futures? At the end of the 25, 30, 35-year career, where do they want to be? And I'm not helping them get there, then I'm not helping them in their individual morale.
Correct. And again, if you're talking about a 10-man agency, that might be easier to do than in a 150- or 200-man agency. But the issue comes that in that 10-man agency, there might not be the opportunity that's there.
Absolutely.
So that person who might want to be a sergeant or might want to be a detective or might want, you work in a smaller agency, you might not have that.
Yeah.
But you also have the opportunity in a smaller agency to specialize with, or not, you know, not necessarily specialize, but you get more training on being well-rounded because you might not have detectives, so you might get trained in investigative techniques.
Sure.
So there's every agency has its benefits. I think it circles back to the individual officer of, you know, what, how are you going to look at it? Are you going to look at your career as positive? Are you going to look at the fact that, you know, you have a job that is, you know, and a career that is supporting your family and able to provide for your family, albeit a very stressful one, albeit one that, you know, you put yourself in harm's way every single day.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm coming towards the end of my career, I look at it and you know, by the grace of God, I've gotten, you know, I'm almost to the end. The light at the end of the tunnel is very bright and it's right there. But you look at it and there were a lot of hurdles.
Yeah.
There were a lot of things that went on that, you know, it made it crazy.
So bringing it around, if we had to say, how can any individual in the organization, how can you directly impact increasing morale in the organization?
Your attitude, 100%. There's no discussion about it. It's attitude. If you have a positive attitude, then you're going to project positivity. If you come out and you're negative, you're going to project negativity.
Absolutely.
I mean, let's go back to our childhood, and look at, you know, Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore.
Winnie the Pooh.
You know, you had Eeyore. It's like, why bother? And he's followed around by this cloud.
Do you want a supervisor who is the why bother guy?
Right.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, but then you had Piglet who was bouncing all over the place, and you know, Winnie the Pooh who, you know, had a decent outlook on everything, and that's what you're kind of looking for, that decent outlook. And again, I don't want to be you don't want to look at it and not be a realist. You have to be a realist in the fact of, yes, and as a sergeant, that message you should be putting out there every day is, yes, I understand it's tough. Yes, it's hard right now, but guess what? We're all in it together.
Yeah.
And we get through it together. It goes back to when, you know, we are a family, and when a family is in crisis, how do they get through it? They get through it together. They don't get through it by separating themselves from each other. They don't get, you know, by isolating themselves and by arguing and getting angry. They get through it by coming together.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to is the morale of the agency is going to be what it's going to be. But you have to, I think every single person has to do their part by staying as positive as they can. And I understand that it's hard.
Yeah.
I understand that when you go in and your assigned car, you know, has no radio and, you know, radio as far as listening to the radio and, you know, has 150,000 miles on it and the floorboards are rotting out. And I understand that's hard to do. It's hard to go into that every day. But you have to try and find the positive. And it's hard sometimes. I get that. I get that.
All right, so individually, positive outlook. As a leader, you must have a positive outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't worry about what's above you, what's happening above you. You pass the stuff up above you, but you can only impact the lives of the people below you. If you, as a leader, focus on the people just underneath you and try to make their lives better, that will become contagious. And that positivity will hopefully spread. And this is not a sprint. This is a long marathon.
No, this career is a marathon. The law enforcement in itself is not. And again, I look back at it. I had a chief who told me, your career is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
And, it was one of those things of after a promotional exam, you realize, okay, I got 25 years of this. And at the end of the day, you have to make sure that you look and do you have regrets about your career? Did you do everything you could? And look, I made lots of mistakes along the way. We all did.
We all do.
And you try not to dwell on that. You try to dwell on what you did that was positive. And, that's, I think, what we need to do. As a command level officer, you need to do everything you can to try and affect the morale positively and do what you can to make things better for your people.
Yeah.
And again, sometimes that doesn't always happen. Even to your best of your abilities, you're doing your job.
But your people will see you're trying.
Right.
That's the key. You're always positive. You're always trying. And that is going to spark the change in morale in the organization. It's not a light switch. It's not going to happen now. But because of what they see you do, they're learning about leadership from you. And if you're always positive, if you're always trying to make things better, they'll always try to make things better. They'll try to. And you're not going to win the hearts and minds of everyone. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
You're going to have that guy. We all have that guy. You'll have that guy who will fight you tooth and nail. And we're not worried about that guy. I worry about the future leaders of our profession.
Well, I think you do have to worry about that guy a little bit because
we're spurting into a whole different topic.
You have to worry about that guy a little bit because that individual could, especially if they have a platform, but they have a voice.
Yeah.
They are the cancer.
Yeah.
So you have to.
Well, that's a whole different conversation.
You're right. You're absolutely right. But you can't say you don't worry about it because you have to worry about it. But
I know.
And it's difficult. I think your best leaders have a short shelf life because they worry a lot and they put a lot on their shoulders and you can't maintain that for a long period of time.
Yeah.
You really can't. I mean, it's one of those things of that level of stress to maintain for that long.
Yeah.
I look at the some of the chiefs and they're phenomenal people. Some of the chiefs that get promoted early in their career, and I really commend them on, because I don't know how you're a chief for a decade or more and still maintain any semblance of sanity.
You know why? Good people underneath them.
Okay, I'll give you that.
And sometimes those career chiefs, their career command, they have good people underneath them making it work, making it happen.
Right.
And again, now we're sprung into a different topic.
No, but I think it's all, it's one of those things that's all interrelated,
Yeah.
It's all interrelated. I think that, morale, it's just, to throw another analogy out there, it's like a pH level in a pool. You have to test it daily. You really do.
That's true.
You have to check it daily. It's almost like trust. Trust is never owned. Morale is never owned. It's rented, and the rent is due every single day.
Yeah.
It's just like trust.
Sure. All right. So if we have to bring this to a wrap, let's say individuals.
Attitude.
Attitude. First line supervisors.
Attitude.
Attitude. And do your job. Your job. Have a positive attitude every day. Work for your people. Try to make their lives better. My thought and theory on this is you only affect the morale of the people underneath you. You can't worry about everybody else. Once you get your morale to a perfect point of the people of your squad, then you might be able to worry about others. But right now, you should only worry about your people.
Okay. I can see that.
And at every level.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that that's actually a pretty positive way to look at it. That, you know, and I would actually go so far as to, you know, as you know, your FTOs have a positive morale. You know, could affect the morale of their trainees. Your unions, if you're unionized, could have an effect on the morale.
Yeah.
If they're constantly spewing a bad message
about management. The fight between management and labor. If you're always fighting a fight, what are you doing to positively affect morale? Or are you constantly being divisive?
I think that there's, you know, that everybody has their part to play, and we have to realize that we're cogs in a bigger machine.
All right, I think we'll talk about that, a lot of the other things that we brought up.
Yeah.
We spread it to a lot of different topics
we
that
did.
We can talk about later on. All right, well, that'll bring us to the end of this segment.
And I would really just like to add and really thank everyone who's listening to us, because I would say that if you're listening to us, there's a 99.9% chance that you are a current or past law enforcement officer. And with that being said, I commend you for being my brother and my sister, and I thank you for protecting your community and protecting my family, and protecting each other every day. I can't say enough that this Blue family is a real thing.
Absolutely.
And we have to have each other's backs because we don't always know that everybody else does. So.
And if you're listening to a podcast about morale, then you want to increase morale. So.
Right. So again, I know that it doesn't. You don't necessarily hear it enough, but thank you. And I just to close out, sharing a quick story. We were, you know, here in New Mexico, and we happened to strike up a conversation with an individual who was an oil field worker, and we were talking, and we talked for probably about 45 minutes. And unbeknownst to us, he had paid for our check. And when it all came down to it, he said, "You guys are out there every day trying to do for us, and you're getting a bad rap. So remember, people out there love us. People out there, there are people out there that love us. There are people out there that are supportive of you, and don't let the negativity get you down."
Absolutely. All right, that'll bring us to the end of the segment. Please reach out to us if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, and you want to talk to us about promotions or any of our specialty classes, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast is brought to you by the J. Harris Academy of Police Training. J. Harris Academy of Police Training is based in New Jersey and provides law enforcement training services nationwide for promotional examinations, use of force, supervisory development, and other key areas within law enforcement. This podcast is utilized to discuss key topics occurring within the profession. The opinions and information provided is for entertainment purposes only. In an effort to provide this, we often purposely discuss opposite views and opinions to spark conversation and develop discussion points. The contents of the show and show notes are all copyrighted. All blog posts, podcasts, and show notes that are distributed to the public for free can be redistributed via hard copy or electronic copy for free, only if the J. Harris Academy of Police Training is included as the acknowledged author within the actual media that is redistributed. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast or blog. Under no circumstances shall the J. Harris Academy of Police Training, any guests, contributors to the podcast or blog, or any employees, associates, or affiliates of the company be responsible for damages arising from the use of the information provided.